On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is when we take developments one at a time, go deeper into the legislation that is up for debate. And so here is the sequence. We'll look at the governor's proposed gun legislation in the special session. We read the climate inside the Capitol. Is this what it feels like to be at loggerheads? And first, though, the lame duck lawsuit before the state Supreme Court. How do you want the justices to rule on the latest lame duck suit? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Molly Beck is a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So the state Supreme Court heard arguments last week in this last remaining state-based challenge to the lame duck session. Mm-hmm. Who was the suit brought by, and what is the main point of contention here?
So the suit was brought by five unions, and they are arguing that the legislature can't require the attorney general to get approval from the legislature's finance committee to settle court cases. So back, right after Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, who were both Democrats when they were elected, Republican lawmakers before they were sworn in, the new Democratic officials were sworn in, the legislature passed laws very quickly to shift some powers from those offices to the Republican-controlled legislature. And one power was from the Attorney General's office, which allows him, or previously allowed the Attorney General, to handle any, lawsuits that the state was involved in and determine what settlements they would agree to. And now that is in... That's the power of the legislature's finance committee, and that's what this lawsuit is arguing is not should not be that way, basically.
Yeah, and a big chunk of the discussions last week revolved around the legislature's new power to approve legal settlements before the attorney general can carry them out. So how did you see conservative and liberal justices responding to that?
Well, it was pretty interesting. I think some observers expected the more conservative leaning justices to be, siding with the Republican legislature. But we saw some critical questions from the conservative justices. The Chief Justice Pat Rogensack, she said, you can't take everything away from the Attorney General. Other justices argued or asked, the Republican legislature's attorney, where does that, if you shift the power away from the attorney general, where in the Constitution allows the legislature to absorb that power? Where does that power go? So there was quite a bit of scrutiny over that act itself by both the liberal leaning justices and the conservative leaning justices.
The lawyer representing the lawmakers argued that limiting the attorney general's powers doesn't violate the state constitution. How did she make that case?
So that the attorney said that such a requirement, the legislature can set that requirement because the state constitution leaves it to lawmakers to determine what powers the attorney general has. So one justice agreed that the legislature could say, well, the attorney general is just going to twiddle his thumbs all day long. He's not going to have any actual practical powers. But he also questioned whether the legislature could take on those responsibilities, like I said before, rather than just giving them to the executive branch. The attorney from the Republican lawmakers argued that the attorney general is kind of a hybrid office in between. He's not strictly part of the executive branch, but rather has powers that were functions of the executive and legislative branches, which makes him part of a fourth branch of government, which all the justices disagreed with, saying, we've never heard about a fourth branch of government in Wisconsin.
So what are the next steps for this lawsuit?
So the justices will, they'll take this under, they'll consider this, and I'm sure in the coming weeks or maybe next year, a final ruling will be coming down on this in this case. And in the meantime, the legislature and the attorney general have not found a way to settle any lawsuits under these new laws. And I think there's about a dozen lawsuits that are just kind of out there languishing because they can't agree on how to do this.
We're doing a politics roundup with Molly Beck. She's preparing us for the week that will be. She's a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in. What questions do you have about what's happening in the state capitol? What bills do you support? What bills do you have questions about? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Molly, it feels like lawmakers aren't really working together or finding common ground. How many bills could we actually expect to see passed into law with a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature?
Yeah, there's really not much going on in the Capitol if you compare this legislative session to, you know, previous ones when the governor was a Republican and the legislature was controlled by Republicans. Obviously, things were, you know, they would pass. I remember I would sit through legislative sessions and they would pass dozens and dozens of bills. And now they, I mean, I think they've been in on the floor once or twice since the governor, the new Democratic governor was elected. So I don't think we're going to be seeing anywhere close to the number of new laws that we saw in the past better part of a decade. The Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, he said last week that he sees the legislature's role right now as being a goalie rather than, you know, finding new bills that they could actually get to the governor's desk. They are passing, you know, I think the governor has signed maybe a dozen bills, and he's got more too that he has on his desk that are waiting his signature. So it's not like nothing's going on, but if you compare it to the last 8 years, it's much, much, much less right now.
And Governor Evers has called for a special session for lawmakers to tackle gun violence next week. We spoke with Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke on Tuesday of last week about the governor calling a special session around this.
Instead of focusing on the issues that divide us, I think we should focus on the issues where we can come together and really present some solutions that will have a greater impact.
So Steinke doesn't think that there's enough support to pass these bills on the background checks and the red flag law. Mm-hmm. What is your take there? What do you sense happening at the special session?
So I don't think anything will happen. I think, you know, they have to, by law, the Republican legislators who control the both chambers, they have to, by law, come in and they can just gavel in and gavel out immediately, and they don't even have to have everybody there. So, and they've said that that's what they're going to do. So the governor, he can call a special session, which means he says, you know, legislature, you have to come in, you have to consider this issue, or you have to consider these bills I want. But the legislature, there's nothing in state law that requires them to actually do anything with that. So they just come in and they say, okay, we're here and we're leaving. We're not doing anything with this. And that's what they said they will do. And I imagine that's exactly what they'll do. They've been pretty consistent for months. You know, we've asked them many times about whether they would consider any changes to the state's rules about who can possess a gun or have a firearm. And they've said there's just no, you know, there's no appetite for that right now.
We're moving through developments at the state capitol, taking them one at a time with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel state government and politics reporter Molly Beck is at our side. What do you think is the solution to the funding shortfall to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison? What questions do you have about what's happening at the capitol? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're moving through the biggest developments at the Capitol, including a Democratic bill on paid family medical leave. Under the proposal, employees could be eligible for up to 12 weeks of paid time off. How do you want lawmakers to address family leave? Is this a pressing issue in the workforce, or should there be other priorities? On the topic of finding missing Wisconsin soldiers, would you support putting more funding toward this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Molly Beck is our guide. She's politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she stays with us. Molly, let's take a look at Lincoln Hills here. The plan to close Lincoln Hills Youth Prison north of Wausau is seeing some funding shortfall issues. What is the status of the money needed to make these regional facilities possible?
Yeah, so when lawmakers voted to close the youth prison, which is north of Wausau, they didn't have any funding specifically tied to that bill. And so lawmakers have been approving funding for that plan, which would close the youth prison and open a number of facilities across the state, which someone would be run by the state and some would be run by counties. And right now, you know, if you look at what the Evers administration and the Department of Corrections said is needed to carry out this plan and what lawmakers have actually approved, it's about $127 million short of what needs to be in place to close the prison by the 2021 deadline. I wrote a story about that recently, and I tried to talk to the lawmakers about what their plan is right now to make that happen and find new funding for that plan. But none of them really wanted to talk about it. And one lawmaker who did talk to me about it, his name is Mark Bourne. He's from Beaver Dam and he's on the finance committee. He said that it's really in Governor Evers' court right now, the ball that would be closing this. And but talking to the governor's office, they said lawmakers need to figure out how they're going to fund this before we can move forward with anything.
So the deadline to replace Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake is 2021. How realistic did you sense from them, from lawmakers? How realistic is this timeline?
I mean, no one has said this is nobody who, you know, is in the legislature or Governor Evers himself. I talked to him about this too. Like both want it to be closed by the deadline set in state law. But if you talk to, you know, people who are not lawmakers, but, you know, are experts in this field, they've said that that deadline has always been too ambitious, and it was never a realistic deadline, but rather something that was put in the bill that would create some sort of urgency that needed to be there, frankly, for lawmakers to act on it quickly. So I could see the deadline being pushed back a bit. But again, no one has said that they want to do that. So maybe it's possible that they will find the money soon.
So proposals from Brown County, Dane, Milwaukee, and Racine counties, they don't have enough beds to accommodate the youth prison population. So why are these plans falling short?
Right. I think there's a number of factors there. I think there is, the counties have said all along, they've said, we need this to be a realistic plan for us. We need the funding to be there. And the plans that they put forward, they know the Department of Corrections knows that it's not even enough beds to transfer all the teen offenders in the youth prison out. So even under the plan that's in place, you know, it wouldn't even allow the facility to close, and that's the whole point of the plan. So I think money is at play there. I think for on the state facility side, which there are a couple facilities are proposing for more serious offenders, the location of those facilities, the people who live around those proposed facilities are very unhappy with the idea of a youth prison being built in their area. And some lawmakers have even gotten behind the people who have said they don't want it there. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things at play that could push this out.
We're talking with Molly Beck. She's a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And she's giving us a roundup of news from the Capitol and legislation she's following. Molly, Democratic lawmakers have reintroduced a bill called the Family Medical Leave Act. Can you tell us about this proposal that's coming around again?
Yeah, so this this bill would create a kind of a state program that would allow workers to have paid family medical leave, even if their employer doesn't offer it. The premiums would be deducted from employees' paychecks, and there would be no cost to their employers. Participating employees would pay the premiums to support the program, and they would be eligible for the leave, including to care for newborn babies.
So the program would come at no cost to employers, but what about job protection? Does the Act ensure that these employees have a job when they are ready to go back to work?
Yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, the details. I think that would be something that would, if this was actually passed, that would, all of those details would have to be hammered out, maybe through the rules process. I'm guessing that the bill authors would want to stipulate that they would have to, you know, if you're mm-hmm. if you're on paid medical leave. I mean, it's paid medical leave. It's not leaving your job. So, I'm not sure, you know, whether the legislature will take this up. I don't see any movement on it right now.
Yeah. So have you heard anything from Republicans on this proposal? This is the third time it's come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it. And okay. I think concerns before have been around the administrative costs to the state. I haven't seen an estimate on that, but that those could be pretty hefty. Businesses might have some concerns with it, too.
There's a proposal that would help fund efforts to recover Wisconsin soldiers declared missing in action. What does this bill do?
So this bill allows a program at UW-Madison called Missing in Action Recovery and Identification. It's a project that finds the remains of World War II veterans. And it allows the legislature's finance committee to provide the project with $180,000 each year. And the project, I think, has been in place for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And they're just focusing on World War II veterans.
And the researchers have been working with the Defense Department to find and identify mm-hmm. missing soldiers since 2013. What would this additional funding support? What would it do?
I think it would just support the project, and okay. it might, you know, expand the number of, you know, soldiers missing in action that they could try to identify. I know that the bill has support from the Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, which is, you know, that's a big clue that it will make it through the legislature.
Last week, we heard the announcement of UW System President Ray Cross announcing his plans to retire. What do we know there in terms of the handoff of the system?
So he told me that he was planning to stay until the Board of Regents finds a replacement. I looked at the UW policy on, you know, how they handle, you know, replacing the UW system president. And there's not really a lot of guidance there. So it seems like the UW Board of Regents could really, you know, make the process whatever they want it to be. I think in the past they've done a national search and they've said they'll do that again. You know, I'm sure that will take months and might not have a replacement until next school year.
All right. We have to mention the fact that you recently talked to Cher, the Cher, and she contacted you to talk about a very local issue. Can you tell us about that conversation?
Right. Yeah. it was pretty surreal. I was following the case of the Madison School District security guard who was fired after he had said the N-word in telling a student not to use it. And somehow Cher found this story on Twitter, and she had tweeted that she was planning to offer her, you know, she would pay for any lawsuit he wanted to file. And so I had written a story about that, and I'm not sure how she found that out, but her publicist emailed me and said, "Hey, Cher, I'd like to talk to you for the story." And I at first was like, "Is this a joke? Is somebody pranking me?" But she did end up calling me actually twice. We talked two times.
Wow.
And she was very, very concerned, and actually she knew a lot about the situation, which surprised me because she's on tour in Europe and famous, but she's very concerned about the situation here in Madison.
Yeah, so you found that your source database is growing by the day.
Yeah, it is. I don't know her cell phone number, but I know who her publicist is, so that's exciting.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Molly Beck is a state government and politics reporter, talks to Cher sometimes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, we talk with a Democratic lawmaker about a bill that would make trespassing around oil and gas pipelines a felony. Do you think people have a right to trespass or damage property to make a point? Should energy providers have greater protections from unlawful protesters? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update. There's more State Cap to come here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking now at bipartisan legislation that supporters say is designed to protect oil and gas pipelines and utility workers and at the same time preserve the right to protest. But more than two dozen environmental groups don't see it that way. They say this bill escalates penalties and it could violate free speech rights. So how do you want to see lawmakers engage around this issue? We're at 800-642-1234. Representative Jason Fields is a Democrat from Milwaukee. He is one of 11 assembly lawmakers who introduced this bill. Representative Fields, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So this bill expands on an existing law that makes it a felony for those who trespass or cause damage to utility providers. Why did you see it necessary to expand these penalties to include oil and gas pipelines?
So whenever I look at legislation, I try not to get into an idea where we're picking winners and losers, and you want to be fair and balanced. And so when you look at this issue particularly, and it's a very emotional issue because I believe a lot of people, because it's such an emotional issue, have just ran to things that they assume, they believe, without really looking forward and looking at the actual language in the bill. That said, when we came to, when it was brought to my attention that there are times where, for example, let me give you an example. In the city of Milwaukee, we have bad actors, right? And what happens is these bad actors will commit an act, they'll do something wrong, they'll get a slap on the wrist, and then before you know it, they're released back into the community doing bad things again. And so when we looked at this issue, it was how do we protect the workers and how do we protect individuals who do want to protest, who do want to exercise their right to free speech? And this was a way to do it and target bad actors. What happens is a lot of people get a slap on the wrist, and next thing you know, they're back to doing the same things that they did before. Case in point, in the city of Milwaukee, we've had to deal with that. And so for us, it was let's make sure we're protecting individuals and what we call the Worker Safety and Energy Security Act by, again, increasing the penalty so we deter negative behavior.
So a lot of the pipeline action is in the northern part of the state. In what way does this bill serve your district?
This bill is not directed towards it could serve my district in a sense that let's look at the example of in this bill. There are two parts. There's the trespassing and then there's the damaging of property. Right. The premise of the bill is to make sure that you do have the right to protest. You do have freedom of speech. I'm going to use Black Lives Matter as an example. Let's say you all know, if you've been listening, that the city of Milwaukee has a lead in the water issue. The city of Milwaukee knew about that. If Black Lives Matter decided to go, hey, we are valid in our emotional outrage about this issue, but we're not justified if we feel like going to destroy city property, going to destroy property. We're valid in having an emotional tie to the fact that the city knew that we were drinking contaminated water. But it's not justifiable to go and start trespassing and breaking property and damaging property. It's not valid to go and create infrastructure problems. So even though at this point, this bill does not affect us as it goes to pipelines, when you look at water infrastructure, utility infrastructure, it does set a precedence to say, look, peaceful protesting is one thing. But going to destroy property, that's totally off bounds. And so when we looked at this issue again, what we're talking about is targeting bad actors.
Okay.
And when we're looking at, are we taking into account the people who work there? We can disagree all day long. This bill is not about environmental climate control. This bill is not about free speech. This bill is not about, taking people's rights away. In the bill itself, we have exclusions where those penalties, if you're not breaking the law, protesting, freedom of speech, those things are protected.
But do we need more felonies on the books?
Do you need more felonies on the books? You need more. You need to send a message to individuals who continually break the law. And that's not a rural or urban issue. That's just an issue we need to talk about. Is it, again, looking at, is it justifiable or is it valid? I would say to you, we have the same issues in Milwaukee, albeit a different issue. Do we need more felonies on the book from people who continue to break the law? No, you in a perfect world, you wouldn't want to have that. But the reality is that when you're talking about bad actors, if it's a slap on the wrist, what stops them from continuing to do these acts?
We are talking with Democratic Representative Jason Fields. His district includes Milwaukee and Glendale. We're talking about a bipartisan bill working its way through the legislature that would make it a felony to trespass or damage oil and gas pipelines. Do you think people have a right to trespass or damage property to make a point? How have you seen this form of protesting make a difference? Do you think these rules could hurt free speech? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Eric now in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Thanks for the call, or thanks for taking my call. These penalties for protesting are ridiculous. What is it, 20 years in the up to 20 years in the penitentiary with a felony for protesting, for trespassing?
So, Eric, I want to stop you right there. And, Representative, if you could clarify what this felony
is. It's not a bill for protesting. You have the right to peacefully and lawfully protest. This bill is directed towards people who willfully and intentionally trespass and damage property or damage infrastructure.
But those found guilty under this bill's rules would face up to 6 years in prison and a maximum fine of $10,000 or both. Is that correct?
Correct. It has to be something intentional. The law dictates, this bill says that it has to be intentional. The prosecutor has to prove that you willingly knew what you were doing. You knew where you were at. And so this bill, again, is not towards stifling free speech. It's not towards stifling protesting. This bill is toward getting to individuals who intentionally trespass, who intentionally go to damage property. Because here's the item. It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. So again, this bill is for those who are intentionally, and let me repeat, intentionally going to destroy property or willingly trespass with the intent of doing damage.
Let's go to Michael now in Appleton. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Good morning. I have a kind of a two-part question. My first part, and this kind of goes directly to the previous caller's question, is, there are already a number of laws in place to address criminal damage to property and willful destruction of property and things like that, especially on the scale, whatever scale. So functionally speaking, the purpose of this bill, to me, seems like it is to stifle free speech, because there are already penalties for the destruction of property part. This doesn't address destruction of property. This is just trespassing. And so the functionality, it seems unnecessary, since there are already laws to address destruction of property. If somebody goes and sabotages the pipeline, they're already subject to arrest for a felony.
Michael, thanks for the call. Representative, go ahead.
No, and again, I appreciate the passion. The bill addresses two parts: damage to property and trespassing intentionally. Again, and I'll say this using the Milwaukee example. When you have individuals who it's a slap on the wrist and they commit an act, whether it be damage of property, trespassing with the intent to stifle or destroy infrastructure, then yes, we do need to send a message to say, listen, that's out of bounds. You can be passionate about an issue. I live in the city of Milwaukee, and I'll give you all an example again. We have an issue with people driving in their cars and creating damage. But what happens? They commit the act. They go through the court system. They get penalized. They get all these things on their record, misdemeanors, felonies. It doesn't stop them. They get released and they commit to the act again. And so in cases like that, it's clear that you have to, in essence, become tougher on crime. I'm not a person where that's my mantra. Let's all get tough on crime. But there are points where you have to go, listen, we have to protect the people who are doing this. And we may have a lot of people that disagree with the individuals who are working there, but that's a disagreement we can have. It should not be where we're lackadaisical in our approach to protecting the people who are doing these jobs.
So let me ask you this. If the bill makes trespassing on these sites an illegal activity, does it make even peaceful protesting a potential felony charge, since it would be technically involve people trespassing?
No. Again, you have to have an intent to if you're looking at a prosecutor, let's say, for example, homeowners, and let's say you're going fishing. Let's take that example. And you walk across this area and you're trespassing. No prosecutor is going to go, hey, you were going fishing, you were trespassing, we're going to throw the book at you. And so there has to be a reasonable sense of common sense about this stuff. Again, it's the prosecutor has to improve intent. I want to focus on that word intent, meaning you willingly have to either be intent on destroying property, or you willingly have to know where you're at and know what you're doing.
Well, the Bad River tribal member attorney said the trespass law requires no showing of intent to harm property or people for a felony conviction, and it transforms a single trespass into a felony. Is it too harsh here?
I don't think it's too harsh. I mean, I think ask the individuals who are working there, ask the individuals who are putting their lives on the line because of, someone who disagrees with them. Ask them, is it too harsh? Again, this is not just to protect the people who work there or do these things. This is to protect even the protesters. Again, it's not stifling people from protesting. It's not stifling free speech. We got a lot of labor union support because the protections in the bill say you can continue to organize. You can continue to protest. You can continue to exercise free speech. All we're doing is targeting bad actors. If you have the intent to go and damage property, that's out of bounds. If you intentionally know where you're at and you know what you're doing, that's out of bounds, because now you're becoming a danger to not just yourself, but to the people who are working on these places.
We're talking with Democratic Assemblyman Jason Fields about legislation that would expand existing state law, making it a felony to damage the property of an energy provider. Does this proposed expansion of the state law make sense to you? Do you worry that the law could mean for private landowners and tribal members? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this conversation with Representative Fields in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about a bill that would expand existing law, making it a felony to trespass or damage oil and gas pipelines. Supporters of the bill say it's necessary to discourage unlawful activity and protect vital infrastructure. Opponents say it would have a chilling effect on free speech. Do you think these rules could hurt free speech, or do you see them doing more to protect speech that doesn't involve trespassing or causing damage? How do you want lawmakers to act on this bill? We're at 800-642-1234. Democratic Representative Jason Fields of Milwaukee is one of the lawmakers who introduced the bill, and he stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Carl joining us from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Carl.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that it's very simple. This is pattern legislation written by the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, that's been introduced in a number of states, that is designed to put the hammer down on protest actions like Standing Rock. And your guest wants to talk about intent. Let's talk about the intent of the Standing Rock protest to shut down a pipeline that threatened their water, that threatens the climate. And that's what the oil industry is scared of. And that's what they're trying to criminalize with this.
Carl, thanks for the call. Carl, 8 states have enacted laws like this. 19 states considered bills to increase penalties against nonviolent activists protesting sites deemed critical infrastructure. Do you see this as a pattern in Wisconsin following suit, Representative?
You know, I don't see it as a pattern. And I mean, I guess I appreciate Carl's passion. I see it as is good legislation. I mean, and I want to warn people and be cautious of individuals, because I think this is what leads to people getting tired of politics. It's this idea that no one can have good ideas because you disagree with them. Right. So you see something from Alec and automatically you disavow it because it came from there. And then Republicans do the same thing when they see things come from Democrats. Because it came from a Democrat, it can't be good. And I want to take that deeper, because this is the mindset that gets us into the situation that we're in. And I want to use this example because I think it hits home. The forefathers had slave owners, were slave owners. Should I look at the Constitution and go, you know what? To hell with that. Because it came from people who owned slaves. So I want to be leery and I want to question people. When did we get to a point where, because we disagree with somebody, we just totally written them off? Or we just said, you're totally evil because you can't produce good items. You can't produce good things. I see it as good legislation. I don't look at, you know, granted, there is a need for being leery of people. I get that. But to just totally write off things that could be good legislation because you don't like where it's coming from, if we start going down that road, then what you're saying is, I don't trust anybody else. I don't want to listen to anybody else. I'm not open to ideas. And we see where that's gotten us as a country. That being said, I'm going to repeat. I get that this is a passionate issue. People saw oil and energy and ran to their corners and said, you know what? This is stifling free speech. Even though in the bill itself, there's language, and I'll read it, that protects that free speech. I get the fact that people said, you know what, we don't like this. It's because you can't protest. Even though there's language in the bill that protects the right to protest, this bill is about making sure we're protecting not just the individuals who work there, but the people themselves. And so, and I love the fact that you guys invited me to the show. I want to read something to you by our legislative council, which is nonpartisan. They're not Democrat, Republican. They are the individuals, attorneys. They draft this. And I just want to read 2 excerpts under what this bill is about and reassure the people listening. This is not about stifling protest or free speech. This is not about just making sure you can't organize. And so under the damage to property, the clause basically says the actor intended to or did cause substantial interruption or impairment of any good or service provided by the provider. So under trespasses, a person intentionally enters a property without lawful authority. We're talking about the intent. This is targeting those individuals who, unlike Greta Thunberg, right, the 16-year-old young lady who's just doing a great job. If you look at her website and she talks about how, listen, we can peacefully protest. We can peacefully disagree. We can do all these things. But hate, violence, damage to property, that's not in our that's not the makeup of this movement. And the bill further explains that the penalty, the individual is exempted from these penalties if they're engaging in picketing occurring at a workplace that is otherwise lawful and arises out of a bona fide labor dispute. It also, if you're exercising a right of free speech in assembly that is otherwise lawful, all we're saying is, look, you have a right to protest. You have a right to exercise free speech. Violence, hate, and damage to property, that's out of bounds. Your emotion, you may be valid, but justifiable? No. Again, using the example, if Black Lives Matter stood up and said, because of police brutality, even though we have a valid argument to be upset about the number of black men dying under the hands of bad police officers, we're not justified in going to destroy police property. So we can have valid arguments. We can have valid opinions. But when it comes to damaging, when it comes to intentionally breaking the law, that's out of bounds.
WPR, we talked to Joe Rose Sr. about this bill, and he's a tribal elder with the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Let's take a listen.
We've been hunting and gathering on those power lines and pipelines, Now, if somebody was out there with a rifle deer hunting, are they going to get arrested and convicted of a felony for trespassing on that land?
So as you look at intent there, that is a clear indication that that bill does not target someone who would be, out there conducting their hunting. But, you know, how difficult is it for you then to parse the meaning of intent? Because, that can be interpreted differently in court.
The intent, again, under the law, you intentionally have to be there with the intent of you don't have permission. And then let's say using the elder, the tribal elder's example, you have individuals going, I'm going to hunt, and there's no intent, there's no foul play. I'm just going to hunt, and I'm trespassing all this land. A prosecutor will look and go, hey, look, you weren't there with bad intentions. You were doing something that you normally always do. Hey, we're not getting ready to throw the book at you, right? So that's, again, when you're looking at intent, it has to be, this is exactly for individuals who, again, your intent, you're hell-bent on going to destroy something.
Well, let's take one last call. Let's go to Nathan now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I'm in, man. I think that people who continuously break the law, I mean, you know, you might disagree with somebody, but trespassing and damaging property is just not okay. I mean, you can disagree with somebody, but it just doesn't give you the right to break the law. And people that continue to do that, you know, there should be things that happen to these people. You know what I'm saying?
Nathan, thanks for the call. So it sounds like Nathan is on the side of this bill.
You know, and I don't know if it's sides, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think all of us, right? If let's look at your own property, a person could disagree with you vehemently, but that doesn't give them the right to just come to your place, come to your house. That doesn't give them the right to just stumble upon your house. And even if they're not intent on destroying your property, it doesn't give them the right. The law is the law, right? And again, with this bill, we're looking and we're aiming it towards bad actors. Do you have the bad intention to do something?
Very quickly here, the bill passed the assembly. It has yet to pass the Senate. So when will we see the next floor session for this bill? What's the path?
I'm not sure yet when it'll
go.
We
don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
How do you think that the governor is feeling if this bill does arrive on his desk?
We're hopeful. I try not to speak for anybody else. I think the governor will take a look at it. I think when he looks at the bipartisan support, it's a good bill. Again, it's not about environment. It's not about getting rid of free speech. It's not about stopping people from protesting. It's simply targeted towards individuals who are intent on breaking the law.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Representative Jason Fields is a Democrat from Milwaukee. He is one of the lawmakers who introduced a bill that would impose stricter penalties on people who trespass or damage pipelines. Just ahead, the Innovation Center's Foxconn had planned across the state aren't seeing movement. We look at why centers are on hold. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.